Hello and welcome to the Powerfuls Podcast. Listen and God bless.
Right now, I'll be handing over to our guests, my spiritual father, Pastor Junior Solomon, as he brings to us the word of God this moment, looking personally to be blessed as a result of this meeting, looking personally that is going to change the course of the trajectory of my journey in life. Thank you very much. I really, really appreciate you making it for this session. Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah. So over to you, sir.
All right. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon to everyone from everywhere. And thank you to our dear sweet brother, Brother Victor Ojo, for this great opportunity to be a blessing to God's people. And I bring greetings from everyone over here, my wife being the foremost of them all.
Awesome.
We appreciate this opportunity, and we are not taking it for granted.
Yes, sir.
All right,
yes, sir.
You can just trust everyone's heart to God's end, and as we take this prayer, Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the form to reach out to your people. We thank you for you have predefined this time to be a time that we will come together, every one of us, to share God's word. Thank you for your servant that you allowed to respond to this opportunity.
Thank you.
We say, Jesus, we are grateful. Father, be exalted in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we ask that everyone who will be listening to this broadcast, whenever, wherever they will listen to them, to the broadcast, we ask that their hearts be drawn closer to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We ask that the light of your word break forth in their hearts so that they can see the things which you have for them in this life and that which is to come in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. We receive understanding for everyone who will be joining us at whatever time they will be listening to this in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, once again, it's a privilege we count it a great privilege to be here this evening to discuss this very important subject. Very, very important subject. I would say this subject is a timely thought, because even over here, as the assignment we are currently supervising here, that God has made us a chief laborer on. This is one of the things that we are currently laying emphasis on, because of the things we perceive the Lord saying that the Lord is currently saying to the assignment. So this topic coming up now, I believe it is God's great player to synchronize this together. So I'm personally looking out to whatever the Lord will bring out today, and personally I also look forward to receiving blessings from it. So let's dive right into it and see how far we can go with this. Topic before us is a very important topic: God's purpose for you. God's purpose for you. God's purpose for you. It's no new thought to say that whenever we are making something, whenever something is being created, whenever we are forming something, we need to understand that everything is created purposefully, especially with God. God creates everything, everyone, purposefully. The scripture even says he creates the bread for the eater. So you understand that God creates everything purposefully. God didn't just create the mouth in man. He created what the mouth would eat. He didn't just create the eyes. He created the eyes to see. So the scripture says the hearing ear and the seeing eye. So God created the eye to see and creates the ear to hear sound. So God created the ear and created sound so that the ear can purposefully pick signals, you know, frequencies that sound produce. God created the eyes and purposefully set things in place that the eyes could see. So, and then we begin to see that when the eyes is not seeing the colors it should see, is not seeing the combination of red, of when you are talking about the color, the frequency of colors, and you're talking about the red, the green, the blue, or when you are going by the CMYK and the eyes is not seeing a particular color, we know this eyes is not seeing as it should. So for everything God creates, there's a purpose to it, and man is not left out. Man is actually not left out. And we must understand that every single time that God is mentioned to be a creator, you see God's detailed work and how that he intends to achieve something particular in the creation that he is making, in the act of creation. You see, God plans and prepurposes everything that we see and frames them in place so that a creature will be able to achieve its purpose. So you see that God made man on the sixth day, but before the sixth day, God began creation in Genesis, and he began to create on the first, on the second, on the third, on the fourth, till the fifth day. So God creating man on the sixth day was, he had made all things available so that the things that he's going to make on the seventh, on the sixth day will find purpose in that. So we must understand that purpose is at the bedrock of whatever God is creating. I'm laying this foundation because we need to understand this so that when we start diving into the matters that is before us, we will start understanding that, oh, this is where this comes in. You know, we need to understand this matters so seriously. Now, by going by the way of dictionary, when we see purpose and we are checking the dictionary for what that means, we will say that purpose is the end for which something is done or something is made or something exists. So purpose is the end that God has in mind while he's making somebody, when he's making someone. Now we are considering people, so I'll focus the definition on people. Purpose is the end that God has in his mind while making, while creation, while creating rather. So God has something in mind, and then he says, okay, I need to make this thing so as to meet this purpose, so as to meet this end. So are we getting that? God makes to meet an end. So if there is nothing on God's heart, then it will be very strange for him to make things. God does not make things purposelessly. You see, look at, let's pick this scripture. I'm just still putting things in place, but let's look at this scripture. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 is a very common scripture, and it is a blessing every single time we look at that scripture. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, I'll read it from the RSV version. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." You see, by one version actually puts it and says to give you an end. Now, the end God has in mind is his own intention for creation. So every single time that we see creation, God creating, God has purpose, he has intention, he has motive, and that motive is what becomes our own purpose. Now, that brings us to a very important matter. If God has an intention, let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Now, God coming to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1 is a very, very dramatic dramatic encounter. If you look at it, it makes it very interesting to really access the heart of God and how relatable God is. You know, many of us, we think God is a big being that cannot be related with some religion, even feel insulted when we say that we have a relationship with God. But that's because they did not understand the whole heart of the Bible, which I trust God that with time, resource persons over here will discuss the heart of the whole Bible. Because when you understand what God is trying to build and what God is trying to put in place, you will understand why relationship is core to whatever we become in the kingdom. Now, look at this. Jeremiah chapter 1, God began to talk to Jeremiah from verse 4. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Now, this is a very interesting part and portion of this scripture, because God was telling the prophet Jeremiah that, you see, before creation, before creating Jeremiah, there has been an intention in God's heart. God began to conceive Jeremiah as a thought, as it was a thought in God's heart before it becomes his forms were created, like the psalmist would say, before his forms were made. Now, most of us become aware of ourselves when the forms were made, you know, our parents become aware of us rather when we form, but God himself, the creator, has Jeremiah. Look at it again. Let's look. He says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, to me, saying," rather, "five, before I formed you in the womb," that is to say, before your forms were made, "I knew you." So we as people, as creation, as human, we exist first of all as a knowledge of God, as a thought of God. He says, "Before you were born, I consecrated you. I set you apart." You see, God has an hand. He says, "I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Now, this was before Jeremiah was born. Now, this is very important. We do not become when we come to the matter of discussing God's purpose or looking out for God's purpose for our life, we must understand that this purpose that God has in mind existed in God's thought even before we were formed. We only exist as an aftermath of God's intention, God's end, God's motive. So when God has a motive, his answer for that motive is man. And do you know that many of the time we do not see this? And you see, let me address something. Somebody can be a result of rape, and the parents, you know, decide to keep the child, and then they say, "Oh, this child is a bastard. He doesn't come from a resource that is normal. We said he came out of wedlock." So far you were born, you must understand that God began to conceive you right before all of these things began to be. So you are not a result of rape, you are not a result of whatever thing that seemed to be that seemed to surround your birth. Some people, they say, "Oh, before we gave birth to them," look at Jabez, for example. If Jabez had lived because of the things that the mother of Jabez thought about, then Jabez would have been a failure. But then you see, Jabez must have understood this thing, that the Lord has mindsets, and this mindset of God precedes the birthing of anyone. And if we understand this, you see, let's look at it. It was not as if the prophet Jeremiah too is void of things on his mind that he's thinking about. He has things he's thinking about, and you see it in verse 6. It says, "Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth, but to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not Be not afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. The God, then the Lord began to do things that begin that began to put the equipping that began to make Jeremiah fit for the thing that he has been set apart to from the womb, from before he was formed. So you see, God has everything figured out before making us. God has everything figured out. God has everything planned out. God is not just thinking. You know, some people feel as if we, okay, possibly because we are looking at this from time, we feel as if God is just thinking about what he made us for. So when we tell people, I say, okay, you need to know God's purpose for your life. You need to know God's purpose for your life. They are thinking and saying, okay, they relate with it from the context as if God is just thinking about the things that he made them for, or as if God is just thinking about it. No, God is not just thinking about it. God had everything figured out before creation. That is why you see in the creation of Adam, Adam did not come first. If Adam had come first, Adam would have to be solving the question, what would I eat? What will I wear? Okay, what earth would I come into? But God made everything that Adam needed, then God created Adam and put him in the garden, which he has made. So you see, God has everything figured out in his thoughts. That is why one of the greatest things you can access in God is God's thoughts. One of the greatest things that you can begin to access that helps the life of a man find easy alignment is God's thoughts. So God has everything all figured out in himself before he starts creating you, or before he created you. And this is why we must figure out by the help of the Holy Spirit what exactly God has in his mind, why he creates us. Because when we don't know the purpose of our life, when we don't know why God has created us, when we don't know the intention, the motive of our life, we live a life that is not defined. We live a life that is not in place. In fact, we live a life that is out of orbit. So we need to know God's purpose for our life. Now I'm saying this so that we can see the gravity of God's purpose for our lives. That is the reason why we are made. That is the thing that we are supposed to be living for. So if we don't know God's purpose for our life, that means we don't know why we were made. Somebody can say, my own purpose is to have money. No, your purpose is not to have money. Your purpose is hidden in God. Because we say God's, I love the way Pastor Victor framed the topic. He says, God's purpose for you. It is not the purpose that you have. It's not the purpose that you are thinking of. It is not the purpose you are passionate about. It is God's own purpose for you. And let me say this, God's purpose is in God's purpose for you. God's purpose for you is in something that that is hidden in God. God's purpose for you is in God, and for you to actually access that purpose of God for you, you need to come to God. That is why the beginning of discovering God's purpose for you is to get to know God himself, is to get to start a relationship with him, to build a relationship with him. You see, Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me. Isaiah, even though Isaiah had been prophesying from Isaiah chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4 till chapter 5, in chapter 6, we saw that Isaiah began a new journey by meeting the Lord who has caused the word to come to him. So Isaiah could have written from Genesis, from Isaiah chapter 1 till the end, without encountering the Lord who has the right and all power to commission him for the work of the ministry. But you see that Isaiah later encountered the Lord, and it became a very important journey from there. So I want to first of all bring our attention to the number one thing, having known the importance of God's of purpose, having known what purpose is about, having known all of those things, we must understand that the first step to purpose discovery is becoming, not just becoming aware of God, but having a relationship that can translate into whatever God has planned for us. You see, there's a relationship that God has, there's a thing that God has planned for us, but it thrives on our relationship with God. His own thoughts, the thought of God is hidden from us, it's kept from men. But if we will really profit from the thought of God, we will really profit from the things that God has in place for us. If we really profit, we will need to come to that God, because all that God has prepared for us is kept and hidden in God. Our life is hidden in God. Our purpose is hidden in God. The plans and the pursuit of that purpose, the way to plan, to connect to the plans of God for that purpose, the way to connect into the pursuit of that purpose is hidden in God. And if God is far, if we are far away from God, or we do not have a working relationship with God, we realize that these things that we are talking about, even though we talk about them over and over and over and over again, that kind of person will just see this thing as vague. They won't be real, because they are kept in God. And for you to know these things, you have to come to that God and start a very valid relationship with God. And let me point out that one of the reasons why believers actually do not find it easy developing relationship with God is that many of us prefer to pray. Why? Because prayer just it just demands, I'm not talking about the correct way of praying actually, we just prefer to ask things from God. And when we ask from God, we say, okay, that's good. I've asked from God. I've asked from the Lord. I've asked from God. But then we are not ready to put in commitments. We are not ready to put in devotion. We are not ready to be devoted, to be committed. We are not ready to persevere. We are not ready to stand and see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We just want to, you know, ask the Lord, maybe ask him for bread, ask him for wine and all of those things. Then after that, we feel we are good to go. But then we must understand the fact that relationship is built. Relationship is built. That's why I said the other time that we must be ready. I said something like this, that we must be ready to invest in that relationship to the point that it can produce and deliver to us the things that God has in mind. So we must be ready to build the relationship by the working of the Holy Ghost in us. We must be ready to put in strength, to put in all that the Lord will demand from us so as to achieve the things that he has in his mind. But this is very important. It is very important. And that is the first thing I'll be pointing our heart to this evening. Building a relationship with God. Start, you know, I was telling, we're discussing something recently, someone and I, I remembered when we came back from school then, and then we were introducing the issue of quiet time to someone. And, you know, people feel those kind of things take time. And, of course, I must be very frank with you, they take time. Relationship is built, of course. Nobody will come into your life today and say, I want to marry you. I say, okay, let's go. When you are not like some people in the world, we say, okay, we are. Why don't the question will be, I don't really know you. Let's get to know each other before we even get here. That's even if you are kind to the person. Some people will shun the person off immediately. But then when we're talking to the person about quiet time, they feel it is a slow process to reaching their hand. And this is, we now began to count the time then. It was going to 8 years now. That's been up to 8 years, we've introduced that person to the process, and the person couldn't, you know, subscribe to the process of quiet time and developing a relationship with God. But if I tell you now, let me tell you, the person is still there at the same point, trying to do the same thing I've been trying to do for 8 years. Whereas if he has subscribed to that thought of developing a relationship with God and servicing that relationship, the person would have been 8 years better. Like, he would have grown for 8 years, he would have learned for 8 years, he would have made those mistakes and learned from them, he would have learned to trust God, he would have learned to hear from the Lord, he would have learned to receive from the Lord, he would have learned to build his life on that. So, you see the place of relationship with God. Relationship with God comes first, even before receiving from the Lord of course, you know, God is very gracious. When we come and ask him anything, scripture says, ask and you shall receive. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, seek, you find, knock, it shall be opened unto you. Whoever asks, receives. So, about this, he hears us and gives them to us. But we must understand that he's not just giving those things to us to service our selfishness or to service our attention on the things we need. He's giving those things to us as a principle in himself to show how generous he is. But then we must understand that the height of all these things is to have a relationship with him. Have a relationship with God. Discovery of purpose hangs on how you can develop that relationship, how you can service it. I'm not just saying you have given your life to Jesus, because that's the song we sing in church. They say, I've received Jesus into my heart. Jesus is mine. I have Jesus. I have all that I need. Of course, that is beautiful. But we are saying, do you know the Lord? Do you know him personally? I used to say something like, can we tell every one of us and say, okay, go and pray about this thing and receive an answer before the week runs out? In Nigeria, currently, we are on Friday evening, this 8 o'clock now. And can we say, okay, go and pray about this thing, get back to us before Sunday? Now, these things, the confidence of being able to go into God's presence and being able to draw answer from him is the heart. Those are the things that relationship produces. Those are the things that relationship produces. You see, Jeremiah here is able to hear the Lord. We are still going to check a model. And you will see that the ability to draw from your relationship with God is a key point in our walk with God. The ability to draw from your relationship with God is a key thing in our relationship with God. So any person who just says, I go to church, I pray the prayers the pastor calls, I don't sin, I don't lie, and all of those things, it's beautiful. But you must move from those things to have a relationship, a personal awareness, a personal engagement, a personal servicing of God. That is our worship. That is where all of the things we are looking for in God begins to come to us. I hope you are getting me. Now, this is a very key matter. That's why I'm taking much time in the place of relationship with God. We have known that all of the things we are looking for is in God's heart. God has them in himself. He has them kept for us. He says the things that God has prepared for those who love in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, he has prepared them for us. What eyes has not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not even come into the heart of man. So it is something kept away from man for us. It's kept away from the world for us. It's kept for us. But we must know how to draw from our relationship with God. We must have a relationship with God, number one. Number two, we must know how to draw from that relationship, how to ask and receive. Not just ask for things. Ask questions from the Lord and receive. And I trust the Lord to help us further in that plane of building a relationship with God in the name of Jesus. I trust that series will come forth that will be built, that will be centered on building relationship with God, because that is the key point. That is the first entrance into discovery of purpose or knowing God's purpose for our life. It is his purpose for us. It is his purpose for us. It is God's purpose for us. It's not your purpose. It is God's purpose for us. It is after you discover it that we now say that is your purpose. And the right way to say it is that is your purpose in God, because the context or the validity of that thing you are doing is in God. If you take, for example, we have people who have discovered that the assignment they have is to lead men to Christ. So they are evangelists in a way. And they go out ministering God's word to people. That purpose only finds relevance in God. The central point of it is God. That's what keeps their lives in orbit. When they take it out and say, okay, let's start publicizing in a meeting. For example, it's not a kingdom-based meeting. It's just a meeting. It's turning from evangelism into publicity. People make this kind of mistakes. They say they are going for evangelism, and in the end, we see that they are
publicizing a meeting. Evangelism draws men to Jesus. Publicity draws men to something, possibly a meeting, possibly an occasion, possibly a gathering. But evangelism, the soul is Jesus. Somebody can say, okay, God is drawing me into the business world. I want to have, I want to be in the business world and then and all. Now, if God wants you there, you must understand that the reference point of that wanting, that of that desire of God is God. So whenever you look away from God, you begin to do something else. Whenever you start saying, okay, I need to be creative about these things, and then you begin to look away from God, then you begin to lose that relevance in God. You begin to lose the things we are going to share after. So the first thing we must understand is that you need to build a relationship. Invest in that relationship. Invest prayer. Invest study. Invest fasting. Invest meditation. Invest all of the principles. Invest all the things that it demands. Invest it in that relationship. That is when you'll be able to draw from it, and then you have answers. Because of our time, let's run into some things. But I hope you understand this key matter that God must come first. God must come first. You cannot lose sight of Him. You cannot lose sight of Him. You cannot lose sight of Him if you will be talking about God's purpose for you. Now, we have a model that we just want to look at so as to have a confined study about this before we pray and ask the Lord to help us on this matter. Now, we'll be looking at the life of Moses, and then I said this for clarity's sake into three phases. I said, in knowing how to, in coming to discover God's purpose for your life, in coming to see what God has in mind while He was making you, in coming to see God's end for you, you need to follow you need to go through these three basic modes, these three basic process. Number one is that there is the phase of discovery or discernment or knowledge. There's a phase of discovery or discernment or knowledge. Those are the three words I used to define that phrase. The phrase of purpose discovery, or purpose discerning, or discernment, or purpose awareness. You become aware of it. That's the first phase. The second phase is there is the phase of believing or agreeing or having a change of heart as regards that thing that you have seen or that you have discovered. Now, I'm going to explain this systematically, but there's a place of discovering it, there's a place of believing it or agreeing with it, and then the number the third thing is there is the phase of becoming that thing you have discovered, or fulfilling that thing they have discovered, or actualizing it, or that thing coming to pass. Not everyone that discovers purpose comes to the place of actualization, or not everyone that discovers purpose comes to that point where the things you have discovered, you can say they have come to pass. Not everyone. Because you have to go through this phase progressively. And that is why the relationship with God is a guard. It's not just a guide, it's a guard that keeps you from falling away while you are journeying in purpose. All of these things happen in your relationship with God. Purpose discovery happens in your relationship with God as you begin to relate with God. Purpose believing or accepting it or agreeing with it happens in your relationship with God. And thirdly, purpose fulfillment and actualization happen in as you keep your relationship with God active. You cannot discover, believe, or fulfill your purpose or the purpose of God for your life outside of God. That is why I said God is the centrality of all of these things. So you have, as you begin to discover it, it will be in God. As you begin to believe those things and agree with them, it will be in God. And as you begin to fulfill them, it will be in God. You hear people like they start singing in the church, but now they are in the world. It's because at one point in time, they left God out of it. They left God out of the picture. They became, when you leave God out of the picture, you service another person's agenda, and that will be the devil. That would be the devil. There are two that demands. Devil doesn't create. Devil doesn't put things in place, but it can perverse, corrupt, and remold people. So it doesn't have a purpose for you, but he has a purpose for you. He did not make you, but he has an end in his own mind for you. So he can say, okay, this guy, you preach the gospel. You can become a comedian. So you see the man leave preaching the gospel to become a comedian. You can see someone singing, like I said the other time, singing and, you know, just singing for the Lord, singing and ministering to the people of God, blessing them with spiritual song, with hymn, with psalms, with melodies. Then suddenly the person stops all that and begin to sing songs that are perverse, songs that are worldly, songs that you cannot even identify with if you are serious. If a Christian who has a relationship with God, let's keep to that word, so that we have a context that is well-defined, relationship with God. I hope you are getting me. Now, this is very important. Let's take this from Exodus chapter 3. That's where we are drawing all of this from, so that we have a very simple thought. Now, we are looking at this from the life of Moses, and then we are starting from Exodus chapter 2. I want to draw something from Exodus chapter 2. And that's the place of the parents and how that. Okay, let's read, let the Bible speak. Exodus chapter 2. We read from verse 1. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took to wife a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Now, let's stop there. Now, this is Moses' parent discovering Moses. Now, many of us, many of our parents who gave birth to us, they did well by teaching us the way of prayer, taking us to church, showing us God. But one of the things that many of our parents did not do, possibly because of the exposure they had at that time, is that they did not discover who we actually are in God, or who God has made us into, what God has put in us. Most of the parents do not take this, but look at the life of Moses. The parents were able to do that. Now, I'm saying this because we young people, we are going to become parents. Now, let me show us what I'm actually emphasizing. Now, verse 2 of that chapter 2, the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Now, the word saw there is the same word that is used when the prophet sees a vision. Now, the same word that is used when the prophet sees a vision is the same word that is used there. And you can see it was as if Moses' parents, Moses' mother, she was using, Moses' mother saw in Moses, saw past the child, saw past the helplessness of a child, and begin to see into what God has in mind for the child. Now, this is a child that is just 3 months old. You see, you need to look past the natural to be able to discern what God has for that child. So, the first thing you have to note here is that it is not a matter of months or years or something. It is a matter of God's planning, God's thinking before you were born. So, and this is the parents of Moses discovering, you know, this is Also relevant in Samson. We saw in Samson how that the angel of the Lord came and told Samson's parents, Manoah and his wife, that this and this and this and this are going to happen. This is going to be the mannerism of the child. This is what the child is going to do. That is God allowing the parents to discover who their child is. God does this. God does this. And we must know that he still do that, this kind of thing. Don't just say, oh, that's in the holding this. No, God still do that. Now, and this even applies to us being spiritual parents or spiritual custodians of people. God can show us who people are. God brings to light what is in darkness over people's lives so that we can see them and begin to train them. I hope we get that. So that's them. Let's go to verse chapter 3, where it said, we want to look at, now, it is good that our parents discover who we are, but it is not good that we don't personally discover what exactly they are seeing in us. Let me share a very interesting example today. There was somebody who was called into ministry by God called, the prophet told him that God is calling him into ministry. And you see, the person believed the prophet, came into the ministry school, and then the person began to ask a question. He said, even though they told me that God is calling me into ministry, I don't know, because God has not told me anything. God has not informed me whatsoever way. God has not intimated me with this. Now, the question of that man is legitimate, because you have to hear God's call by yourself. Now, that is about ministry. You have to discover God's purpose for your life. Even though your parents might tell you, oh, this is what God has spoken about your life, you have to wait in the place of prayer, studying, and drawing from your relationship with God to be able to say, this is who I am in God. This is what God has exactly, specifically called me. Now, I must say that this purpose discovery that we are talking about is different from who we are generally in God. In God, in Christ Jesus, we are righteous. In Christ Jesus, we have the wisdom of God and all of those things provided in Christ for us. But when we start talking about purpose, we are talking about the uniqueness that hangs over our life while we are made. So, two people can be teachers of God's word. When they discover the unique assignment they have, you realize that even though both of them are teachers of God's word, the specific area that God has called them is a thing of note, a thing of key interest. And that is what makes them unique. Even though they have the same resources in Christ Jesus, the way that we apply those resources will begin to take shape according to the purpose of God for their life. So, now let's go on to chapter 3 of the book of Exodus. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law. And I know that you know that before this time, because of our time, Moses had gotten a little bit of rift in Egypt, left Egypt, and he had 40 years phases of life. So he had 40 years spent under Pharaoh's custody, 40 years spent with Jethro, and 40 years is spent leading the children of Israel. Now look at it. This last 40 years of his life is now with Jethro. Now, chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and lo, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Then he said, do not come near, put off your shoes from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face for he was afraid to look at God. Now, we won't go into these into details of this passage, but I want to point out things to us. This is Moses, God's way of bringing Moses into a relationship with him. You see, God introducing himself to Moses, which is one of the things that happen in our relationship with God. You see, this is the first thing God did to Moses. God did not just come to Moses and say, oh, now this is why I've called you, and all of those things. God began to initiate a relationship, a knowing. Koinonia began to happen. And what happens in koinonia is you don't just get to know God. It's a sharing. Even though God has known you, God still comes to relate with you, to come to your level, to access you as you access him, share with you as you share with him. So there's a common union in that, you see. That is what happened to Moses. Then in verse 7 of that chapter 3, then the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people, one in Egypt. So God began to relate the, do you see the wisdom of God in this? The wisdom of God is so perfect that when Moses was being vetted, if someone had told Moses and said, okay, you'll be the one to deliver my people, Israel, at that time, it looks absolutely impossible, because this is about 80 years or thereabout after that God began to do this in the life of Moses, about 70 something or 80 years that God began to do this in Moses' life. So don't think that God is late or God doesn't care about me. No, God, even though it might look as though God has not set things in place, just wait and see. God has everything figured out. That's what we started with. He has everything figured out before making out. So you see Moses here. Moses never knew that from the day one till Moses was killed in the wisdom of Egypt. Moses was skilled in all of the skills, all of the craft of war, all of the things, strategies, tactics, and all of the wisdom of Egypt. He was trained. But then he rejected all of those dignitaries, all of those honorable things, in quotes, and embraced the path of God's way for him. As every one of us, we have to embrace the path of God's purpose for us. We're still there. But you see what Moses did? Then the Lord began to intimate him with the things he has in mind. Look at it. He began to relate the state of Egypt, which Moses himself is aware of. You remember that he killed that slave, that task master that was trying to, the Egyptian rather, that was having issue with the Israelites. He killed the Egyptian in favor of the Israelites. And then the Israelites was having an issue with an Israelite, and Moses he wants to come in and separate them. And they said, who made you a judge over us? Who made you a ruler over us? Who made you a separator of fight? And then the guy said, do you want to kill us as you killed the Egyptian the other day? He did that secretly. And he had to flee Egypt because Pharaoh heard of it, and then they were going to kill him. And then he left Egypt. That these things were in the plan of God for Moses. They were not strange things, because God wants him trained for what he was coming to do back there. And God didn't want Moses. Now, let me say this. Do not go about your purpose after you have discovered and all of those things. Do not at any time be tempted to go about your purpose in your own strength. You will just receive the blow that Moses received from the Israelites, who made you a ruler and a judge over us. So you had to, do you want to kill us the same way you killed the other guy? So you had to run for his life. Now, let's go on. 7, God began to relate with him the issue that is happening in Egypt with the Israelites. Now, let's go. Then the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, Behold, the cry of the people of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Now look at this. Come, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. You see, this is the purpose statement of Moses. This is the discovery phase of Moses' purpose. This is the discovery phase. And this phase is very important, because that's why we started with the relationship with God. When your relationship with God starts producing the kind of results, one of the things that has to produce is this statement. So, you see, when Apostle Paul, when he was still on his way to Damascus, trying to persecuting the people of God, and then Jesus encountered him and introduced himself, "I am Jesus, whom we are persecuting. He thought he was persecuting the church, but he was persecuting Jesus himself, because Jesus is the head of the church. And then, you see, in the end, he says, this is the same thing you are going to do. The same thing you are persecuting, the same people you are persecuting, you are going to be for them. You are going to enter into the city. A lot of things are going to be telling you what to do. And he says, much more, how he has to suffer will be shown to him. You see, those are purpose statements that hangs on your revelation of the person of God. So, you remember that, time will not permit us, but let me paraphrase this. When God was introducing himself to Moses, he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, if you remember in the life of Abraham, there was a point in time when God told Abraham that his seed will be slaves. They will be taken captive in a place for 400 years plus, for 400 years, of course. But you know, at this time, they spent more than 400 years in Egypt now. And it was as if what God was telling Abraham was impossible, because Abraham, you know, had no child, and he was careful about it, and he was concerned about it. But then everything came to pass. But God told Abraham all of the things that is currently happening to Israel. So Moses had to know that it was the same God that revealed all of those things to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that is now coming to him. That is why the revelation of the thing that God started with Moses, even before he began to know God personally as Jehovah, was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because he is only working in line with the thing that God has shown to Abraham. I hope you get that. It can take time to study that personally. So let's continue our study. In the discovery phase of Moses, come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, this is the first phase. The discovery phase is a phase that we must tend to. It is a phase that we must be sure of, and it is a phase that we must not take lightly. It is a phase that God is interested in. Now, let me point this out. Everything that we are going to discover about this is a revelational thing. That's why we use the word discover. They have to come to us by revelation. It's not that you are making it up by yourself and say, okay, I think I can sing, so I'm going to do this. Yes, we can serve the Lord in whatever, with all of the things that we have, but our life cannot center around it so much. For example, somebody can say, I can sing, then I'm going to join the choir. Beautiful. But then the Lord can come and say, all right, now you can sing fine. You're in the choir. That's beautiful. But what I have actually planned and purposed for your life is that you will be someone who is going to be a philanthropist for my work. And that is to the end. That is why I've been serving, I've been preparing you so that you can be a philanthropist. You can service my kingdom with all that I've given you, money and all of those resources. So the person then begin to understand, oh, this is why you have been training me about self-control. This is why you have been training me about handling money. This is how you have been training me about wealth creation and all of those things. And then the person begins to find out how that all of his life aligns with the thoughts and intention of God. You see, this is the beautiful thing about purpose. It makes your life make sense. It makes the battle that you are currently in make sense. It makes the victory you have had make sense. So it is by revelation that we come into these things. That's why we call them discovery. You don't put them together. You don't think yourself into them. You discover them in God through the speaking of God. Amen. So you see Moses here. Come and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. The discovery is very clear and clear cut. Now, the face of Moses' discussion with God that took quite a lot of time from verse 11 onward is the face of believing or agreeing with God or with that discovery. You see, Moses had to begin to say a lot of things, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go up to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? He said, but I will be with you. God began to give him assurance. Now, as you begin to discover all of the things that God has for you, the purpose of God for you in particular, you must understand that you are free to express all of the fears you have in your mind. I remember personally when the Lord was bringing my own purpose to me, I told God outrightly, I said, this thing, I can't do it. All I just want to do is follow you and follow you well. I am not ready to go into all of these stuff you are telling me. I'm not interested in them. I just want to follow you. I just want to be with you. I just want to enjoy your presence. That's all. And God was patient with me. When I look back into those days, I just say, wow, God is merciful. God was patient. God was not forceful. It was not hard on me. I could understand the discussion God had with Moses from that very point till chapter 4 and then to the end of chapter 4, God was still discussing, and Moses was raising one thing or the other. I want to summarize everything and saying God was getting Moses to believe what he had spoken. That is all that was happening hereafter. Chapter 4 has the continuation of the story. God was getting Moses to just get to that point where he believes that with God, all things are possible. I remember when God was telling me sometimes then, quite a lot of years ago, and he was telling me that I'm going to preach God's word. I was one of the things I was going to do is to preach, to teach his word. I was not convinced. The reason being that, number one, I was not trained about how God can do all of these impossible things, because it looks actually impossible. But I knew that God is sincere with what he was saying, but I was not interested. Anyway, it was like an offer. And I felt I'm obligated not to, I'm not interested. So I had to shut down and say, I'm not taking that. And one of the things I was thinking is, if you say I'm going to teach God's word, I cannot even explain a passage, a verse of the scripture. Give me a whole chapter. I can summarize it in just, not summarize, I can teach everything I think I can teach about it then, as at that time, in just 5 minutes. Because I don't have all of the things. I don't know what was even called utterance at that time. So I felt I was inadequate, I was unfit, and God expects that we express our feeling about it, but we must not doubt, we can express all of the feelings that we have about those things, how impossible we think they are, but we must not doubt the fact that God can do these things. If he says he wants to make a nation out of Abraham, and that came to be, then you must understand that nothing is actually impossible for him. So the discovery phase must follow the discovery phase by, okay, the discovery phase must be followed by that phase where we begin to believe the things that God has spoken to us. This can take years. And this believing is not just mentally agreeing to it. You understand? It's not God said it and I believe it mentally. No, we must avoid being insincere or insincere with ourselves. I've seen people that says, okay, I think God wants me to do this. And then when challenges come, they run away from those things. They did not believe. Their believing faith had issues. Look at Moses. When we have our time, let's take our time and read those scriptures sequentially. Don't be in a hurry. Don't read it in haste. Take time to see all of the concerns that Moses raised, even to the point that God began to show him signs and wonder. things he would have to do before Pharaoh and all of those things. The key point was to get him to believe the fact that God that has given you that purpose, God that has shown you that thing that you have discovered in him, is able to bring those things to pass, is able to make them come to pass, is able to make them, is able to actualize them in you. So to doubt him is to begin to raise some things. It will start from quite a lot of things that are subtle. It will come subtly. You just see them coming gently, quietly. You feel, okay, can I do this thing? How will I mother nation? How would I be somebody who can raise children for the Lord? How will I have a motherless home? I can't even feed myself. How will I have a home where people can learn the Lord? Currently, I can't even discern anything. Oh God, how can I do this? Now, it can look like that now. God is not defining his purpose for us by our presence. In fact, the reason for the believing faith is so that we can become someone who is fit. Now, let me say this. In the believing faith, you see Moses over time. You see him there trying to struggle. He's struggling with everything God is saying. And I wrote in one of my note, I said, the enemy raises several subtle and obvious enemies that ensures that what is discovered is not received, is not embraced, is not believed, is not obeyed or submitted to. So, you see, subtle enemy like fear, low self-esteem, low self-evaluation, peer prayer, and all of those things come in. When you look at your friend, I say, can I follow this person? No. This one has been in this thing for long. And God is saying, go into that kind of same field. And you are intimidated. You say, I can't go. God wants to make jest of me. God wants to belittle me. God wants to, man. Moses was telling God, see, I'm a stammerer. I am a man of low speech. I can't do this. And God is saying, see, I'll be with your mouth. In fact, I will make you as a God. For every deficiency that we currently see in us, God has a supernatural provision for that deficiency. You see, for everything you feel, no, I can't do it because I can't see very well. I once have a brother, and the brother said, God began to tell him, this is what you have to do. He said, I'm a fat person. I don't think I can do it. I said, no, that's not a reason. For every kind of deformity you think you sense in you, it is this scripture says that his strength is made perfect in that your weakness. So that weakness, that deformity, that place where you are looking and saying, this thing, I can't cope with this. That place, God can make that place the source of your strength that you don't even know the most. So Moses could not speak very well. It became the reason why he became a god. And Aaron became his priest, his prophet, his mouthpiece. Moses could hear God and declare directly. And then Aaron could be an interpreter or one who convey the message correctly, more accurately to the people in a relational way. So you see. And then I said, obvious enemies. One of the greatest enemy you have is sin. You might be looking at your life as the Lord is telling you to say, I am a sinful man. You see, Isaiah said the same thing in Isaiah chapter 6. Said, I am a man of unclean lips. I live among unclean people of unclean lips. I can't. And God began to cleanse him. Believing is not just a mental, this believing phase is not just a phase where you mentally agree or sensually agree with what God is saying, but it's a phase where you submit totally to what God is saying. And see, this faith can alter your life. It can alter what you have been doing, what you have been thinking, what you have been saying, the way you have been talking to people. I say something, you know, recently in Nigeria, we had a presidential and gubernatorial election, and I began to look at some of our gubernatorial candidates, and I began to look at them. I said, some of these people, if they realized many years ago that these are the things that God, becoming the governor of a state is what God has in mind for them. Some of them would not have done some things on their social media, which are reasons why people don't like some of them. It's not because they are but outrightly people that can't be related with. But they did some things because they were not sure of what God is saying about their lives, and those things they did became things that knocked them out, or became the blow that the enemy is hanging on to and using it against them now. So imagine that they believe those things, and then it begins to alter their life. So God is saying, oh, I want to raise you as somebody who's going to have an orphanage home, who's going to build an orphanage home for me, and then children all over the world will come, will flock in. Children training center will be there, children entrepreneurial center will be there, children educational center will be there, and all of those things. But this is the person now who is committing all sorts of crime with their lives. Now, the moment you see this and you discover this, and then you begin to believe it, what we are saying is that this, the believing faith, has the ability to alter the direction of your life. Moses was doing his own thing. He was a shepherd. But check, after that conversation with God, Moses took leave. Moses took leave. He was no longer a shepherd. He believed. And it altered the direction of his life totally. And then, in that believing faith, God begins to deal with all of the enemy that you feel is they are the limitations that will not make you fulfill those things. So we might say, okay, I have sin in my life. Then God begins to point his light on those things. Now let's read Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 to 16. And then we move on from there. But Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, either heretofore or since thou hast spoken to thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. But he said, oh my Lord, send, I pray, some other person. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. And behold, he is coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And you shall speak to him and put the words of his put the words in his mouth. I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take in your hand this rod with which you shall do the signs. Now look at 18. And Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, let me go back, I pray, to my kinsmen in Egypt. You see, he left Jethro, despite the fact that everything was going on well with Jethro. God took his disadvantage and turned into an advantage. So when you begin to believe what God begins to say to you, this faith takes time. You begin to believe it, you begin to commit yourself to God in that light. The difference begins to show in the fact that your life begins to take a different direction. Your life begins to take a different direction altogether. And then you begin to say, okay, if I'm going to become this, Lord, what will I have to do? And you begin to see God taking you through steps after steps after steps. And those steps begin to reassure your heart that, oh, God is really interested in me becoming this thing. God is really interested in me becoming this thing. God is really interested in me becoming this thing. Now, this making faith is a very cogent part of our relationship with God, because this was the same thing that God told Peter. He said, follow me, and I will make, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, it says, follow me, and I will make you fisher of men. So he says, follow me, relationship, following. I will make you making fishers of men. That's the definition. That's the thing that God told them, both Peter, Peter, James, John, and Andrew. Those Peter and Andrew, James and John. You see those people. He told James and John, he said, follow me. To Peter and Andrew, he said, follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And The making phase took about 3.5 years. You see, they got to believe it. You remember that even after Jesus left, Peter had to run away. Peter ran away, and then they were on their own. They were hiding from everybody. They were hiding from the Roman soldiers and then from the Pharisees and all of those things. They were hiding. But then look at it. That was not the end of it all. That was not the end of it all. The 3.5 years was to cure, to make them, to cure the things that they found to be are alien to God in them. So you see, that is the phase that Moses had to go through. But then you see, after that phase in Moses' life, when he left that place, he began to fulfill those things that the Lord had spoken to him. He began to fulfill them. He began to fulfill them gradually, bit by bit. And then that is where you see the children of Israel being, the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt by the hand of the Lord. You see, the place of becoming what God has in mind for us, of fulfilling his purpose for us, has a lot to do with ruling with Christ in the midst of our enemies. You see, ruling with Christ in the midst of our enemies. God wants to demonstrate his power. Whatever purpose that God has for you in himself is a place where you can see God's power at work. You see God's power being demonstrated in you. You see God's supernatural release through you. So God wants to rule in the midst of his enemies, and you are his vessel. You are his chosen vessel. You are his chosen vessel. He has chosen you. You might say, oh, how has he chosen me? He has chosen you through this coming together in Christ. He chose you. And it's not something that is far-fetched. If you can enter into a relationship with him, you'll find it. God wants to rule on earth. He wants his will to be done on earth as it is done in heaven. He wants the rule of heaven to be on earth. He wants his kingdom to be expressed in the earth. You see, but it cannot happen until you are ready to follow. You are ready to follow him, and he makes you into that which he has in his mind. It's a journey inside out to do what God has shown to you through revelation. So as you begin to become, as you get to that phase where you begin to actualize those things the Lord has spoken to you, it's a journey inside out. God shows you, you do them. God shows you, you do them. God shows you, you do them. And let me tell you, fulfilling God's purpose for your life is a warfare. You have to be ready to take on beasts, to take on bears, to take on lion like David. And then you have to be ready to take on people like Goliath, people like Pharaoh, people like Herod. You must be ready to take them on in whatever areas. Because, see, it is much more easy to start purpose journey or journey of purpose. It is much, much easy to start them than to keep walking in them according to God's plan. The more you go on with God, the tinier the road becomes, the lesser the options you have. But the enemy will keep giving you more options and say, oh, don't worry, you can just eat like that. You see what he did to Eve in the garden. He can give you options and say, no, that's not what God is saying. You know, God doesn't intend that. Don't expect that God intends that. How will God do that now? God can, that's not what God means. He gives you options, but God makes his own definition very clear. So it is warfare. It is warfare. And God intends that even as you go on, you must be ready to fight the war till the end. That is why you see people, great men of God, everywhere on earth. I want to use men of God as example because they are the obvious ones we see working in purpose. You see them at old age. In Nigeria, where we have people like Daddy Adeboye, even at old age, they still service their relationship with God because they understand what is at stake. They understand what is at stake because devil will not say, okay, because now you are old. You see, one of the things that baffled me in the life of Solomon is that scriptures in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 11 says, when he was old, that was when his wife turned his heart away from the Lord, and he was not faithful. He was not faithful to the Lord. So you must be ready to take on the warfare. You must be ready to take on everything that is coming on by the strength of the Holy Ghost. This is not something you do by yourself. This is not something you say, oh, I have the strength to do it. I have the strength to do it now. No, it is something you keep going back to the Lord for strength. You keep going back to the Lord for strength. You keep going back to the Lord for strength. You keep staying with the Lord. You keep trusting the Lord. You keep staying with the Lord. You keep trusting the Lord. That is how we journey. That is how we make progress. That is how we increase in the things that pertain to possible. That's why when you look at the life of Moses, you see that he keeps going back to the Lord. He keeps going to the mountain to receive the law. He went back to the mountain to receive the law of Moses. He went back into the mountain. He went, scripture even says he used to talk to God face to face as a man talked with his friend. That's the place of relationship. There was no point in time when he was not in relationship with God. So the first thing is discovery. Second thing is believing. And the third thing is fulfillment. Even at the fulfillment phase, you stay with the Lord, because you do not fulfill all of your purpose at once. You not say, oh, now Moses took 40 years to lead Israel from Egypt to the point where God told him, go up to Mount Pisgah, and then he saw the land, and then he was buried there. He died there, and all. So we must keep the lifeline between the discovery, the believing, and the fulfillment in its entirety is your relationship with God. That's the lifeline that connects them. Whenever you lose relationship with God, you can discover it and fulfill it outside God. You can discover it and not believe it. We have quite a lot of people today that their jota is full of the things that they believe God has called them to do, God has assigned them to do, God intends that they do. But today is still in their jota. You see this great work that God is doing through the man of God in this place, the Charis folks. It could have been in his jota, and you think, oh, this man is profiting in the Lord. And let me say something very important to us. There's no way you will grow in your walk with God and you will not have results. You will not have things that benefit God in your life. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, the gift of God is given to all to profit with all. So even though the gifting is not, the gift of God is not the purpose, if God wants every believer to bring profit to the kingdom, to profit each other, to profit him, and God is not profited rather, when we do things that only please us, things that only suit us, things that only make us feel good, things that makes us have much money. No, but God is profited. God profits rather when we do things that is according to what he has planned and pre-planned for our lives. That is how God gets profit. So in fulfilling God's purpose for our lives, one of the things that you must put at the back of your mind that you are doing every single time is that you are blessing the Lord. You are offering sweet-smelling scents to the Lord, sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. Your life can be spent in the place of fulfilling your purpose, but that is a sweet-smelling scent unto the Lord. So as you see the apostles moving in the book of Acts, God is being glorified. That's the way to put it. Whenever you are fulfilling, you are working in purpose fulfillment and purpose actualization, purpose realization, you are giving glory to the Lord. God receives all of the glory. That's what scripture says. I said in Matthew chapter 5, it says, let your light so shine before men. And when they see that light, they will give glory to your Father in heaven. You see? So when you walk in purpose, the children of Israel were in bondage until Moses. Scripture says, through a prophet, Israel was led out of Egypt. See, that is the working of God. And then all glory went back to God. That is purpose. God empowers you for the purpose. God instructs you for the purpose. God ensures that all of that which you need is provided for it. So far, you are spending the time believing it. And you spend the time in your relationship with God. He wants to do this for you. He wants to do this for you. He wants to do this for you. God will not send you out without empowering you. But the first phase is, do you have a working relationship with God?
As I begin to round up, the scripture I'll be rounding up with is Mark. The scripture I'll be rounding up with is Mark chapter 3. That's my closing remark. Mark chapter 3. This is one of the scriptures that helped us as we began to make progress then in the Lord. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. Now it says, yeah, and he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him, and he appointed 12 to be with him and to be sent out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. You see what he did there. In verse 13, he says he went up to the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. Now look at 14, says, and he appointed 12 to be with him and to be sent out to preach. So the first thing is that they will be with him. All of these things we are talking about, the discovery phase, the believing, and then the entrance into the fulfillment, there are things that happen when we are with him. And it is as we are with him that he sends us out. And in descending out, he will not send you out without giving you the necessary equipment. So far, you are first with him. You will not be like the sons of Sceva. You will not be like those people who were not legally and legitimately sent of the Lord. So we must understand this part of our walking with the Lord. We must understand all that this entails. God intends to walk the earth through us and to do great works through us, but it starts with our being settled to be with him. Our being settled to be with him in a relationship, developing that relationship and making sure that relationship is serviced. I trust the Lord to help us. And even though our generation is a hasty one, we are hasty with everything. I trust the Lord to help us and to bring light to our path so that we can journey accordingly into purpose and not live our lives anyhow. A man that is working in purpose is conscious of the way he spends his life. We will be helped in all ways to settle and be with Jesus. We will be settled in all ways to be that kind of person who can settle down with God and who can become the man that God wants, because everyone is supposed to go through this phase. As we round up, let's pray and trust the Lord and say, Lord, I receive strength to stay with you, to build relationship with you, to service my relationship with you. Even though everywhere is becoming more busy, everywhere is becoming more occupied, people are getting, we have to settle one or two things here and there. But Lord, I receive strength to settle down and build relationship with you. I receive the grace, I receive capacity to settle down and build relationship with you in the name of Jesus. I won't be full of myself. I won't be so carried away by the things that are around me. I won't be anxious for everything. I won't be so full of anxiety. I will be settled. I will be calm. I will be settled in my mind to see the things that you are saying to me, to receive the hand of fellowship that you are showing to me. I won't be so much carried away by the things that are happening around. I won't be so much carried away by the things that people are telling me, by the things that the society is saying. I won't be full of the things that the world is saying. I won't let the world lead me on. I won't let the world distract me. I won't let the world take away my focus on you. I will keep looking at you. I'll keep gazing at you until the things that you are saying, until the things that you are doing become manifest to me. In the name of Jesus, until the purpose that you have for me becomes open to me, until I find them, until I see them, I won't be carried away. I won't be carried away. I won't lose my focus on you. I won't lose my grasp on you. I won't lose my take on you. In the name of Jesus, everything that you have spoken concerning my life, everything that you have pre-planned even before I was born, that you have planned, I gain entrance into them. I lay hold on them. I believe them in the name of Jesus. I won't be carried away. I won't be distracted. I won't be carried away. I won't be disturbed. I won't let the violence, the troubles in the world, I won't let them distract my heart. My heart is kept in perfect peace. My mind is stayed on you in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, you'll be glorified in my life. You'll be glorified over the things you have committed into my hands. You'll be glorified in the name of Jesus. Men will look at my life and glorify you. Men will look at my life and give you all the glory. They will appreciate your labor. They will appreciate your sacrifice through the things you are going to do through me. Oh, Jesus, I won't be carried away. I won't be drawn away. I won't be like Demas. This present world will not catch me. It will not catch my attention. It will not minister error and violations to me. It will not minister corruption to me. I receive strength to say no to the activities of the enemy. I receive strength to say no to the evil that the enemy is doing. I receive strength to say no, like Joseph. Oh, he said, how will I do this great evil and sin against God? I will not do things that will make my heart hostile to God. In the name of Jesus, I receive strength to persevere. I receive strength to persevere, strength to stay until the hands of the Lord is manifest in me. In the name of Jesus, until the power of God is manifest through me, until the grace of God is evident in me. In the name of Jesus, I receive strength to stay. I receive the power of the Lord to stay and tarry until I see the things that the Lord has in mind for me, until I see the things that the Lord has planned for me, until I see the grace of God manifest in me in the land of the living. I receive strength to stay. I receive strength to stay. So much more that after that people begin to glorify you through me, I will still stay. I will still stay. I will still stay in the name of Jesus, that the life that I live will testify to the grace of God. It will testify to the power of the Lord. It will testify to the anointing of the Lord. It will testify to the fact that Jesus is alive. People will look at me and through me, they will say, oh, we believe that Jesus is alive. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right now, Father, we release everyone that is under the sound of this ministration. We release them to the power of Jesus that is able to take men from living a life that is not aware of his purpose to that point where we discover our purpose, where we believe them, and then when we are empowered for them, and then we are released into fulfilling them. We release everyone into that anointing of the Lord, the anointing within that draws men from the state of living as they wish to the state of living as God pleases, living as God intends, living as God wills, fulfilling the end that God has in mind. Release them to that anointing in the name of Jesus. Right now, the anointing of the Holy One begin to teach everyone and bring them into that phase where purpose becomes of a thing of matter to them in the name of Jesus. And then we pray for every relationship that is broken, everyone's relationship with God that is broken, everyone's relationship with God that is distorted, everyone's relationship with God that is damaged. We pray that the Lord's hand will come upon them and will restore those relationships. The hunger to follow the Lord, the hunger to pray, the hunger to study the word and pay attention to details in the word, the hunger to fast and give commitment and devotion to God's word is given to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Jesus, for this opportunity. We declare this ministry, this assignment, blessed in the name of Jesus. We discover everyone that subscribed to this, blessed in the name of Jesus. The hand of God will rest on this work and will take it into the next thing that God has in mind. It will not slack, it will not slow down, it will be hastened to fulfill all that God has in mind for it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, bro, for this opportunity once again. We are grateful. Thanks to everyone that has joined us now. Over to you, Pastor Vic.
Thank you very much, sir, for that awesome word. We are indeed blessed to have you in this generation. We're really, really grateful for the word that was shared today and how you things that the Lord has used you to accomplish in our lives this moment. I just want to encourage everybody to meditate on these things. The recordings will be available as soon as possible, and would relate information and disperse the recordings to us. Thank you once again, sir, for the eye-opening insight that you have given us this evening. And personally, it's something to pray about. There's so much to pray about from what the Lord has raised for us this moment. Something to take home and just meditate upon and pray about. And it's my prayer that the Lord continues to illuminate you, that He continues to strengthen you, and continues to uphold you in Jesus' name. Thank you very, very much, sir. And we'll be drawing the curtain on this note.